just doing different stuff with the church, which has been good, but still having that missions pull. And that's when I was kind of looking for, how would I do that here? If I was going to be a missionary right here in Los Angeles, what would that look like? Because it feels like I'm here, I've got this job, but it doesn't seem like it would keep God from using me. It is really fun to partner with the Lord, to see the Lord move and just being able to be used by Him. Man, that makes these days, it just adds so much purpose to that. I'm like, yes, this is what I was designed for, to make disciples. And I was floundering for a while, but this seems to be how the Lord really wants to use me.
Welcome to Called Beyond, a Novo Mission podcast. We love sharing stories about how we can hear God speaking to us, as well as what happens when we say yes to His calling in our lives. Through these stories, we celebrate together the movement of God around the world, beyond what we could ask or imagine. Well, welcome everybody to another exciting episode of Called Beyond. Oh man, I'm so excited about today. I've got an amazing co-host in Brandon Maddox. You guys got to hear Brandon's story on our last podcast along with Marco Polo. Today, we get to learn and hear from Andrew Bennett. Andrew lives in LA. He's a physical therapist. He's married, has two teenagers, and he has been hunting and looking for a way to do mission every day. And we're excited to hear what that looks like. He's on volunteer staff with Novo, and he gets to see and experience so many things through his everyday life. And we're excited to kind of dig in a little bit. Welcome to the podcast, Andrew.
Thanks for having me, Tim.
Oh man. Well, I just was trying to think of a way. I'm really excited about today because I think today we're going to be able to broach a subject that, I don't know if it's uncharted territories, but it's kind of, it's in the limbo land between the everyday, or maybe not everyday churchgoer, but the every week churchgoer, and like the missionary who's out in the field somewhere. And we can finally tackle that discussion of what does it look like in the in-between when you are sent right where you're at, and you're also sitting in normal church settings a lot too, and how can you bridge the gap and become those things? So I'm just curious, where did that kind of angst come from in your life, working a job and then wanting to see more fruit, spiritual fruit, come out of that?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that's been there for years and years. As a younger person, right after I got married, we spent a year down in Mexico with a group called, now they're called Crew. And so it really felt like, missions is, I'm really fired up about that. But then it seemed like the Lord led into, becoming a physical therapist, and, the 9-to-5 job, started happening. And that was a necessity. But still, in the different churches, we were in Ohio for a little while. Now we're in California, and just doing different stuff with the church, which has been good, but still having that missions pull. And that's when I was kind of looking for, how would I do that here? If I was going to be a missionary right here in Los Angeles, what would that look like? Because it feels like I'm here, I've got this job, but it doesn't seem like it would keep God from using me. And that's when I kind of ran into Novo, a buddy of mine. He's like, hey, I'm going on staff with a missions group, but I'm going to be right here. And that was really intriguing to me. I'm like, you're going to be a missionary, but right here. He's like, yeah, absolutely. So that's when I started to kind of get, team up with some folks from Novo and learn, okay, how can I really treat my everyday job right where I live like it's my mission field? How, what would that look like?
Wow. That's awesome.
And Andrew, that job, how has that job been a fuel to your mission, right? Because it's not just only been a place that mission can happen, but from the stories I know of you, it's been a fuel to your mission.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great, I'm a physical therapist and I do home health specifically. So what that means is I go to folks' homes. I drive all around the area just north of the LA proper. And so it really is an interesting opportunity to get into areas and talk with people in their own environments, which I would never get to do in any other way. And so sometimes that really does, it literally opens doors. I can go into these homes, but then I get some habitual time with people to start to know them and their stories And then that kind of gives me opportunities to pray for them. And so, but yeah, I mean, doing what I do in LA, it really does expose me to a lot of different cultures and people quickly, which I think it's just been great for, you know, what I'm called to do as a missionary.
Wow. Well, I think, you know, if maybe our listeners are thinking the same thing, but I'm thinking of this is your day job. Aren't you risking a lot by engaging a client in like a spiritual conversation, asking to pray for them? So that's one question. I say the second question is, do you remember the first time where you were crossing over that, if that feels like a boundary at all to you? I'm not sure if it does, but when you're crossing over that, like, what was that like the first time?
Yeah, Tim, to answer that first question, I think there is a bit of a risk. Now, the way I'm doing this is I'm very careful. I don't just kind of, you know, beat people over the head with a Bible or something like that. And I get to know these people and I have to follow the Holy Spirit a little bit, which is, again, something else that was a little bit new for me in missions is just, you know, doing that. So, and I see, and I usually start with, okay, hey, can I pray for you? Because there are very few people who are going to be insulted by me, even if they don't, even if they say, well, I haven't had many no's, but like, even if it's not their thing, they appreciate the effort. Right. And so that so far hasn't gotten me in any trouble. So your second question, like the first time, you know, I tried some things because this isn't like I just decided I need to be a missionary. I've, you know, felt like this for years. So I've tried different things. But the first time it really started to take after I had gone through the spiritual authority cohort with Novo and started to kind of upgrade my prayer life a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I'm with this patient, seeing her a lot and just feel like, man, I think the Lord maybe wants me to pray for her. But then I chicken out because, you know, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, come on, you know. So I'm out the hall, down, like, you know what? I think, you know, this would have been less awkward if I had just done it on the spot, but okay, I'm gonna go back. So I turn and I go back. And I think it was because I ended up praying for her multiple times. I think it was actually praying for healing, which for me was another big step. I'm like, okay, I just haven't done that very much. I had some ideas of how, having been taught by the spiritual authority cohort, but I go back in there. Hey, you know, something else that I do is, you know, I pray for people aside from the physical therapy, trying to make a clear delineation between those two. So, hey, that's over. This isn't part of the company. This is just me now. You know, can I pray for you? And pray for her, and it was impactful. I mean, she was having lots of pain, and that pain did decrease in a significant way. Now, the cause of the pain, I don't think was ever really changed, and so the pain did come back. But it opened the door for more prayer, and that became repetitive. And then it got to the point where I said, hey, something I do with people, aside from pray, is everyone has their own idea of God. They've got some concept of that. But my big thing is to actually introduce people to him. Like, I want you to be able to interact with him directly. I feel like most people really don't ever get to that point. They just kind of know stuff about him. And that's kind of how that, you know, and I'm still doing DBS with that person.
Yeah. That's so awesome, what's a DBS?
DBS is Discovery Bible Study. So in this kind of case, again, this is something that Novo really taught me, gave me the tools for this, which is just a way someone like that who is open to that, but may not know a lot about what's going on. Instead of me just teaching us, you know, write these things down. And like, let's go into the Bible and let's discover what it says. And in that way, they learn to kind of feed themselves from Scripture. And I also learn to hear from the Lord directly. I'm serious when I say that I want to teach these folks to actually interact with God. And that's the best way to start. Let's go to the Word. Let's see what it says. Let's listen to Him and obey that. And we just keep doing that.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the fact that you're a physical therapist and you're praying for physical healing. And, I mean, kind of just wondering if you're afraid is it like the opposite of job security, by having to know the great physician who could just like take care of everyone for you. So you got to finish with prayer. Cause if you start with it, you may not have anything to do.
Work myself out of a job. Yeah. I'd be okay with that. If that starts happening, there are so many people in Los Angeles that are so sick. I'm not worried.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. So it sounds like there's a bit of kind of community that develops in Novo. And then spoiler alert. So Brandon and Andrew are on the same Novo team in LA. And so, yeah, I'm just curious, Brandon, as you're hearing this from Andrew's story, like what, I know you have a lot more context. Why don't you help lead us into some more nuggets?
Yeah, I think, man, one of the most powerful and challenging things for me with Andrew is the way he's making disciples every day as he goes. And it's so easy for us to go to a space and make disciples because that's the space we make disciples in. But the as we go discipleship. So Andrew, how did you come into more regularly, faithfully doing kind of the as we go discipleship in your just regular context? And what's that? What are you feeling? Because I imagine a lot of listeners are like, that's great for him, but that sounds terrifying to me. Yeah. So what are you feeling as you're doing that as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It is scary, and it's kind of outside the box a little bit. I like control of these things. I like to have everything. I like to know what's going to happen, and you know, I like to be the teacher. You know what I mean? Okay, I know what I'm doing, and I can teach you, or you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, how it's been kept going is really fun to partner with the Lord, to see the Lord move, and just being able to be used by Him. Man, that makes these days. It just adds so much purpose to that. I'm like, yes, this is what I was designed for, to make disciples. And I was floundering for a while, but this seems to be how the Lord really wants to use me. And, you know, and so how it is scary, but the biggest thing I think for me is just to kind of keep my head on a swivel and realize that, gosh, this didn't look like what I thought I was going to be. I thought I was going to be like a missionary in Africa when I was a teenager, you know what I mean? And so it was kind of disappointing when I wasn't, but now I realize, oh man, look, actually, you know, the Lord is using me as a missionary. It just might not have been the place I thought. But that even, you know, you bring that up. I was in another, so I got to keep my eyes open when I'm at work. But even not work, I was trying to have quiet time in another part of down in the valley. And you know, I like to have a quiet time. Quiet. I'm in Panera Bread. I'm got my headphones in. I'm facing the wall. You know, I've got almost like a do not disturb sign. If I had one, it would have been up for sure.
The headphones are definitely a do not disturb. It's like the unspoken, like headphones are on. Leave me alone.
Nope. I don't even turn them on. I just need them on so that people stay away. Right. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right.
So I'm in this part of the city and I'm like, okay, I had a break. I'm down here. And so I'll just stop here and have a little time with the Lord. This would be great. And people keep bugging me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is why I don't have quiet time here. I got to go have quiet time up in a different valley, you know, because people are just, it's always something, right? So I'm like, oh no, this is just the worst. And then something kind of pings. I'm like, wait. I've just been reading about how do you find disciple makers? Sometimes you need to go to an area, be conspicuously spiritual, and the Lord will bring them to you. I hadn't even considered that. And so then I'm like, okay, maybe I'll go ahead and engage. Sure enough, someone comes back around and I end up talking with this guy. And he's definitely someone who knows everybody. And yeah, you know, this is less of a, like a discovery Bible study like before. This is more like someone who's a believer, but we're working through some stuff and trying to get him to see himself as a disciple maker, as someone who's got connections, all these places. I'm like, wow, I think the Lord can and wants to use you. But again, I didn't, to answer your question, Brandon, I didn't really plan any of that. And that's the thing that surprises me is I just, you know, all the books you read and all this kind of stuff. But what really matters is just be ready because I didn't plan most of this. And the Lord just brings it up. And if I can, I usually miss it on the first shot, be honest with you. But then He gives me like another whack at it. Like, oh yeah, actually, this might be something you're doing. My bad. I'll jump on that, you know.
But that's awesome. So like your obedience in those situations is so awesome. And then, even for me, after you had shared that story with me, then I changed how I am trying to engage our local community college. And I was like, oh wait, I need to just be more conspicuously spiritual. So I'm going to go do my devotions in the cafeteria of the community college. And someone walked up to me and brought me a coffee and now I have a phone call this afternoon with that person. And so, so hearing you and seeing the way that you're living on mission every day, it's different than I go to the homeless camp and I make disciples in that homeless camp. I think it takes a greater courage to, if this person rejects you, that might impact your job. Or if this person rejects you, there's like a, I don't know. Yeah. I think it takes a lot of courage. So that's so awesome, Andrew. That's so awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. It's scary sometimes.
The thing that what I love about your story, Andrew, too, I also went through the Spiritual Authority cohort and equipped with all these new ways of praying, right? In a lot of ways, it allowed me to start seeing the needs of people that were right in front of me and already in my life. And almost to the point where it's just like, I knew that Jesus had the answer for every need that I was being made aware of, right? And I would say that the Holy Spirit was allowing me to see the real need that people had. And all of a sudden, I had a tool to use it. And so I started to partner with him, and he started to start showing love in these specific areas to these people. And I sort of felt like I was becoming a bit of an anomaly, right? Only I didn't feel like an anomaly. I felt like I was living the everyday Christian life. And God has this plan for everyone who knows him, who knows Jesus. And so my question for you is, one, do you feel like an anomaly? And two, what would you say to maybe that listener who's there being like, well, that's cool for him. He's uniquely gifted, or, you know, has this real clear like direction from the Lord. Like, do you feel like this, some amount of this is meant for everyone every day?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. Honestly, it's something I've kind of struggled with, but in the opposite way, I feel in a lot of ways not uniquely gifted. I don't, you know, you'll find, you know, people with some really neat gifts that the Lord uses them in really neat ways, which I think can be inspiring. But sometimes to me, it's a little bit discouraging because I'm like, I guess that might be easier if I just had a sudden revelation of what's going on with this person, I could just speak it to them. Now maybe that'd be more terrifying than I would think if that actually happened to me. But I don't feel like I'm, you know, I am gifted, but not in some of the ways I think that get more attention. And definitely doing this, I just have to step out a little bit of faith and take a risk sometimes. And so I don't feel like I'm an anomaly in the sense that, well, I'm gifted and everyone else, you know, is just going to have to pick up the pieces. So, you know, actually, I'm no more gifted than anyone that can hear this. I promise you. So I definitely don't think that. Is this for everyone? But I do feel like an anomaly in the sense that, you know, it depends on your church environment, but church groups are more or less motivated for missions, and that looks differently in different locations. And so I don't find a lot of folks that, you know, I think we all give lip service to, hey, we're all on mission. You know, we're all called to go and go forth and make disciples. But that's hard, you know, and that takes a long time. And then sometimes I feel like many people will just offload that burden to the local church that they're a part of. Well, maybe I'll bring them in and let the church do that.
That's good. Well, yeah, I think, you know, like you, it's a little bit like I'm the most surprised person ever when the Lord decides to show up. And blessed, because I know me, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's you. So it's not a gifting thing. It's not this. It's really, I mean, I would feel it's a little bit like because you've made incremental steps of faith and seen the Lord meet those incremental steps with favor and fruit, is it allows you to have greater confidence when you move. And that's the thing that I think people notice right now and think that there's something peculiar or unique or whatever. And honestly, it's this encouragement to just start with the first yes and see where it goes from there. It's, that is really, really good. Well, I love that you guys are on the same sort of team. I love that the strategies that the Lord is teaching you, Andrew, is Brandon is applying that in the context and where he's serving and also finding fruit in that. Tell us a little bit more, like, what does it look like to have team and pursue similar things in different environments, drastically different environments, when we're thinking about like meeting under bridges and, you know, with the homeless, and then, you know, meeting in customers' homes or in coffee shops, and like, you know, what does that look like doing mission on team in such different and diversified areas?
You know, I don't know how to answer that really. I guess I would say, you know, there's a lot of that camaraderie, and but there is that separateness. I can't take people into these patients' homes, and you know, we're in different places, but Brandon and I do have some overlap. He's doing, you know, work in a section of the valley where we both live that I feel is important. So, you know, there is an overlap as well, where we get to see, okay, how does that play out in a thing we're doing together? So, I mean, we do have a little bit of that as well, which I think it's neat to see us kind of run in our lanes, but occasionally side by side as well.
Yeah, I think like some of the most value of it is if you were trying to run alone at this in your city, like there's so much discouragement you face along the way. There's like, man, you're walking with someone, discipling someone, and then they like, oh, I'm divorcing my wife, or like, you're like, what? Oh no. And like so many stories like that along the way where you feel like you're two steps forward or one step forward, two steps backwards. And so to have other people that you're hearing those similar stories of the just slowness of disciple making, the slow process and the faithfulness in the midst of the process in different contexts, but still like we're able to encourage one another in those things. And often like, we like recently read a book together, and it's we're applying it to totally different contexts, but it's the same principles, a lot of the same principles along the way. That's been huge encouragement.
It's kind of like good. The intangibles too, because that's a lot of, I feel like I spent a lot of years trying to do that on my own without team. And so, but there's just something, you know, Christianity is a team sport. And so there's just something about teaming up, even though we're not in the exact same spot, but still he's got my back. I know that. And I have his, not only in prayer, but just, you know, aside from the training, which is really not, we're really great with Novo, but there's that team, even if you can't see them, you know, they're there, that makes a difference for me.
I think the best part, like we were just said, my wife and I were just at their house for a movie night last weekend. I think it was last weekend. Yeah. And I think also just those like everyday, like grabbing dinner together. We both like the same like noodle spot, and yeah, grabbing dinner together, and just being an encouragement, getting to be an encouragement to their kids too. Yeah. And then get to be encouraged by their kids. And I think it's fun just doing life. We aren't meant to live on mission alone. We're meant to do it with others. Even Alan Hirsch talks about community versus communitas. And there's like community, which is what we always experience in the church. But then communitas is that like band of brothers that you develop while you're in the trenches together. And I think it's a unique thing. And it's awesome.
I love it. That's so cool. Well, I think it's amazing. I think even with these little incremental yeses that you have answered the Lord with your obedience through, Andrew, I'm curious if you have any sort of inklings or like what the next yes might look like. Is there something where you're like, I feel like the Lord is maybe leading in this way or that, or what do you feel?
Well, you know, I'd love to see what's going on here grow exponentially. I'd love to raise disciples who raise disciples, that generational, that's really what I'd like to get to. But it's funny what sort of like what the Lord does, again, just unexpected stuff. I don't plan and strive so I can make this happen. A buddy of Brandon's actually said, hey, you know, I've got this nonprofit in Africa. Can I talk to you about some stuff? I'm like, sure, yeah, let's talk. So we're talking, and it turns out you know, well, kind of bottom line, doing some great stuff, some real humanitarian work. And what it does is in the midst of that, it raises up believers. And the real need that they have is discipleship. And so, so we're just talking about, okay, gosh, how could we use me and what I'm doing? And, you know, the same thing that Brain is doing too, to help disciple people on the other side of the globe. And because of Zoom, that's totally possible. And so as we're sitting down talking through those things, it's just amazing to me. Again, my whole concept of missions as from childhood was like, I got to go to Africa. But then kind of the disappointment of not being called to Africa. And then, again, I don't know if it's going to happen. It's still in the infancy stages. But wouldn't it be hilarious if it turns out, you know what I mean? I can do discipleship right here. In places like that, and so with things like that to come to fruition, and I get to do discipleship, by extension, that would be fantastic.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It is fascinating, and I do. Andrew gets to still partner with the Spiritual Authority cohorts, and he's one of our Zoom facilitators, of which there are people calling in from all around the world. And it's a place where other people can get resourced and outfitted with these tools that allow them to pray and partner with people right where they're at too. So of course, thanks for that, Andrew. And and knowing that that helped to sort of release or raise up something in you as well, as it's a pretty cool and unique tool. So, I think one of the things that I wanted to say is, I'm thinking of those that are listening to this. There's those that are listening to this that are missionaries already, and they're excited to hear these cool stories. There's people that are listening to this podcast that are starting to partner with God in new and exciting ways, that are hearing yours, and it's challenging to hear of someone using their spiritual authority in their professional environment and to see that and the risks that are taken there and to see that create fruit as you help people even to start reading the Bible for the first time, maybe forever in their whole life. And then I'm thinking there's people on here that just stumbled into it. They're a little bit like, how can he do this? Separation of church and state, like all this thing, all this baggage that we keep in there to like kind of keep us from like walking in our authority and walking as believers that are called to make disciples is, for each one of those, I think that you've addressed all of them. But I would say for that very first one, for someone who's just like, this all sounds, I don't even know how to get started in doing something like this, even if I wanted to. What would you say to that person if, just as if you were meeting them for the first time and they're hearing this with an open mouth, like, what do you mean?
Yeah, that's, I think I would start by saying, hey, the pressure's off. When I was doing these things, it felt like I was putting a lot of stress on myself to do, I want to be a missionary. Got to get this right. Got to do it. And it's very me focused and less what the Lord is doing. So first thing that I've kind of had to try to do is take the pressure off. It's not me going to do these things. What I want to do is be present and willing and watching kind of to see what the Lord does and trusting him to be a good leader. And, I'm not going to get this all right. I'm not, I hear so many stories of these people way down the road from me, and it's okay that I'm not that person. And it's okay that, our listeners are not that person. The Lord knows exactly where I am, where you are, where everybody is. And he's very good at taking you from that spot and just, like you say, incrementally moving forward. So I can trust him with that. And I don't have to get this all right the very first shot.
That's really good. Yeah. What would you say? I feel like this is true. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but even for those incremental changes, does it ever feel comfortable? Does the yes required ever feel like it's something you can easily walk into?
Some of that, honestly, there's a certain amount of risk always that's there. But I feel like it is getting easier. Just the other day, I'm with this guy, the patient now, and it's just, he's describing all these things. And it seems like, I don't know, for whatever reason, like this is someone I might need to pray with. And I'm not sure. And then he brings up God. And about, and some questions about that. And so I'm like, oh yeah, got it. Okay, for sure. And then, So some, and in that case, praying for him, honestly, that didn't feel to me risky at all. Now, there are still some times when I will and it'll feel risky, but there are some cases now where I'm like, okay, yeah, that, I feel like that's pretty clear. And this, you know, I'm willing to step through that. And that's now not a big scary thing like it used to be.
That's amazing. Oh, go ahead, Brandon.
Sorry, I was going to say there's a great quote from a book called An Audience of One that says, how do you make sure that you don't become yesterday's man in regards to like being used by God? And it's to be willing to be led into discomfort. And I love that. And I definitely see that in you, Andrew. You're like, you're willing to stretch yourself and take a step and try a new tool, go through a new training, like try new things. And that maybe we're outside your original paradigm to see how God might use you.
I think that's really good. Yeah. So if that's you, if I described you and Andrew was just talking to you as well as Brandon, the path starts with feeling a little bit uncomfortable. But it's really watching. It's like watching you catch up to where Jesus already is at. And that's where he's welcoming you to. And I think that that is really beautiful. And one of the things that popped into my mind, Andrew, when you were sharing that is really praying for your patients is the highest level of care that you can give to them. Yep. And so, you know, rather than thinking of it as like the, like it is a risk, right? Because we're so used to the separation, but really the highest level of care, I would say that anyone who's trained as you are is prayer. And so, pretty cool to see that happen.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that this has just been absolutely amazing. I hope y'all are as encouraged as I feel right now in listening to Andrew's story. He is a regular guy. He's loved the Lord for a long time, and he's desired to see God break out amongst him and through him, and through him to others. And in this latest season, we've just got to hear how he's partnering with team and taking risks to see people come to know Jesus right where he has been for the last 20 plus years as a physical therapist. And now the fruit that he's seeing in his life, while there is fruit in Africa, there is fruit in the homes while doing the profession that he's trained in and loves doing. And I hope that you see that as an encouragement. I hope that you see that also as a challenge, because mission doesn't happen everywhere you aren't. Mission really happens everywhere that you are. If you ask, if you listen, and if you respond in obedience to what the Lord might ask you to be doing. So, Andrew, it's been amazing having you on the podcast today. Brandon, any final remarks you want to make? Any takeaways?
Yeah, I think just that, man, if you are in that place where your heart is drawn toward mission, you don't have to wait. Like, don't wait. Do it. Yep. Go for it. Now's the time to step into discomfort and take the first step. And that doesn't have to mean signing up full time as a missionary with an organization. It can mean living as a missionary in your workplace. And so if you're feeling like, man, the Lord is calling me, like, do it, go, jump into discomfort, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Andrew, any final remarks, anything you want to say?
Yeah, like you said, Brandon, stepping on a boat doesn't make you a missionary. The Lord, you know, brings people to you right where you are. He's not limited by those things. I feel like it's us who sometimes do the limiting. So just pay attention, be willing to say yes, even if it's a little bit scary sometimes, and see what he does.
It's amazing. So much good stuff. It was an amazing time hearing Andrew's story. I just love these little moments where we get to reflect back on some of the nuggets that kind of come up from a conversation and just hearing what God's done with another person's obedience. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was a real special moment, was actually, Brandon, you said this, we're not meant to live on mission alone. And just the idea of team and the idea that, you know, I mean, it's a true statement, right? Like the Lord surrounds us. There's a community of believers. There's a unity that happens when we get together, when we share. We may have our own unique assignments, but the learnings are really meant to kind of fuel a group of people that are committed. And I love seeing how this is kind of providing some fuel for your team and new strategies to try as one person sees, you know, I mean, success, or sees the Lord work in a specific, unexpected way, and see if there isn't a little bit of a model that can get created, and then hearing how that worked for you on that, on the college campus.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, something that stood out to me was that God sometimes gives us delayed gratification on the things we think He's invited us to. And sometimes the invitation looks way different than what we originally thought it would look like. And man, I saw that. We see that all throughout Andrew's story, where he, thinking he's going to be a missionary to Africa or somewhere else on the missions field, but God using him as a missionary right here. And so often, I even think it's tempting to dismiss God's invitation. Because it's not coming the way we expected it to come or the way we preferred it to come. And so there's just a humility that of heart that I love that Andrew has in being willing to receive God's invitation and respond to His invitation, however it comes.
That's really good. Yeah. I think another thing that kind of stood out to me in this, and it rings true in my own life too. And so I hope that you guys will also share in the reality of this statement, is just that God sometimes surprises us right in the wrong moment, or right when we don't necessarily even, it's not that we don't want Him to, it's just that we have a different plan in play, and in, you know, being encumbered by ministry right in that moment when you're trying to kind of retreat and get away, or you're trying to have that quiet time with the Lord in a public place, and then the public place overlaps the private moment, and you're kind of left doing mission. It's a little bit like, okay, I get it. So for all my introverted friends out there, is, you know, be ready and be willing to kind of go with the flow and submit an extroverted moment if the Lord is inviting you into that, even when it's outside. It's in the wrong moment for what you were planning on doing. So I just love that, the Panera story in there.
That's awesome. Yeah. And kind of along that same lines, that's risk. That's being willing to risk. Mm. And that's for introverts and extroverts. We've all got to risk. There's a quote from John Wimber that says, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is spelled risk. And God's, I think that's something we see in Andrew's story, that time when he's first walking in or having to go back in. He didn't offer prayer while he was there the first time. So he has to go back in. That had to be so awkward and feel so risky to do that. But he took the risk. He was obedient. He responded to the Lord's invitation with obedience. And it felt risky, uncomfortable, but he did it. And I think Lord's, and always, regularly each day, inviting us to take those kind of risks and get uncomfortable and respond to Him with His invitation with obedience.
Yeah. You know, each one of us is surrounded by people that we know that really their soul needs to see a little bit more Jesus. And whether they know Him already or don't know Him yet, we live in a world that's crying out for more Jesus, whether they know it or not. And so I hope that you're encouraged during this episode of hearing another person's journey of faith, which to a lot of us seems risky, and that it compels you to move towards that in your own life, in your own context, maybe in your own profession. Or in another sphere where you have influence or leadership in, and you invite God to take things over for a minute and begin to walk towards him, which looks a little bit further outside of where you currently feel comfortable. So I just want to encourage you with that. Thanks again for tuning in for another episode. And I hope that you were blessed. As we wrap up this episode, we want you to know that you too are called beyond. We believe there is more that God desires for your life than you could possibly ask or imagine. Are you longing for more? You don't have to have it all figured out to take the next step of faith. We bless you in Jesus' name to embrace the courage that's required to obediently follow God's calling. We pray and believe for transformation in the relationships and communities where you live, work, and play. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Called Beyond is a production of Novo Mission, Inc. To learn more about Novo's commitment to multiply movements of the gospel and mobilize the church for that mission, we invite you to check us out on our website at novo.org or follow us at Novo Mission on Facebook or Instagram. The music in today's episode was written by the band Wild Earth and used with permission from the artist. Thank you again for giving our podcast a listen. We hope you'll join us for more Called Beyond.